Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is a Wynn Tracy recording at 4:59 p.m. That is Pacific. Excuse me, no, it isn't. It is London summertime, and today is October 5th. And I apologize for recording a little early today, but I've got engagements this evening that preclude me from doing the audio later. And what we've seen today is that stock markets have been really quite positive, and that is despite the fact that when we look at the political environment in Europe, things are making huge numbers of headlines, but we have to ask ourselves the question whether that is going to have an impact, positive or negative, on monetary policy. Because one of the most important things when we look at the this bull market, such as it has been since the beginning of 2009, the abiding fact that has helped to drive it along has been that it has been liquidity fueled, and the ECB's balance sheet is at 4.3 trillion euro, and it's still going up. It ticked downwards in the last week, but this is by no means a situation that the ECB is withdrawing liquidity from the market. When we look at, for example, Spain, then the IBEX index, it was even in positive territory in here today, and that's despite the fact that Catalonia may, in fact, be deciding to go for independence. But there is, of course, the possibility that you would have capital flight out of Barcelona, and the IBEX index is bouncing really quite emphatically today from that 10,000 level. But I think it is on Wall Street that we're seeing real fireworks here, because the Nasdaq is going to close, in the absence of a clear downward dynamic later on today, it's going to close above 6,000 for the first time. And that is a pretty important move, considering that it has been ranging, albeit in quite an inert fashion, it's been ranging below this level for 3 months already. So I think it is also worth considering that we are now in October. We are in the last quarter of the year, and that historically the most favorable time of the year for stock markets is in the fourth and first quarters, that we have gone through the least favorable time from a seasonal perspective, which is the second and third quarters. So we should anticipate at least that by and large the balance of probabilities is that stock markets will do better in from now through to the end of the first quarter of next year. And when we look at this chart of the Nasdaq on a weekly basis, then it has paused, it has unwound at least some of the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And when we compare that to, for example, what's going on with shares like Amazon or indeed Google, where they paused in the region of $1,000 for much of the last 3 or 4 months, and now they're firming from the region of their respective trend means. And that is, from a medium-term perspective, relatively positive. In fact, when we look at Google, its reactions have been confined to about $100 pullbacks for much of the last 6 or 7 years. So this is just a normal reaction within the context of a medium-term and impressive bull market. And where we did see some of the political impasse starting to show some effect was in currencies. The euro was down by about 50 ticks in here, but it is extending its decline. And I continue to think that this is a reversionary move, that it has paused in the region of 120, and that the most likely scenario is that the dollar will stage a rally and that the euro will pull back towards the region of the trend mean, which probably by the time it gets there will approximate the 115 area and the upper side of that underlying two-year range. Then when we look at the pound, there is the prospect here that Theresa May, having, I think, suffered unfortunately from laryngitis or a nervous cough at the party conference yesterday, her tenure as Prime Minister may not be lasting for very much longer, and that uncertainty about the political future of the UK is weighing on the pound, and it's been down pretty much on consecutive days for much of the last 3 weeks, and it is coming back towards that 130 area and the region of the trend mean. We can see that there has been a progression of higher reaction lows since January, and that will need to hold if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to higher to lateral ranging. And when we net one off against the other, then we get a similar picture that the pound had rallied pretty impressively, and then it is now encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, with the euro bouncing against the pound in here. This is the first area of potential support here for the euro, and there's certainly some evidence of it getting at least some sign that it is not taken for granted yet that the pound is going to have a big interest rate differential versus the euro, or that they're going to be raising rates, and particularly when we have this political uncertainty. And the fact is that the Eurozone is not just concerned about what's happening in Catalonia, or indeed what's happening with the Brexit negotiations, because if we look at what's happening in the Czech Republic, where there is a populist leader is now coming to power, and then you also have populist leaders in Hungary and in Poland, and the Polish opposition is also very well placed, that there is considerable disaffection with what's going on in the Eurozone. So I think there is potential here for the ECB to, in fact, ramp up its monetary accommodation, because there isn't a great deal of evidence that the political establishment is capable of getting its act together in terms of supporting the economy. And I think it is also worth keeping an eye on some of these commodities, because copper prices, which have been subject to a great, I think, considerable negative news flow, bounced pretty emphatically in here today, up almost 9 cents and back above that $3 level. And this continues to look like a relatively equal-sized reaction, and particularly when we compare it to that range between November and July. And this was a clear upward dynamic in here today. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, then it has formed a first step above the type 2 bottom, and it broke out of that. And we've had the first consolidation following that breakout, but the consolidation is relatively equal size, and this continues to look like a relatively benign environment. And if we look at zinc, 3 month zinc futures, for example, then we have additional evidence of a demand dominance. And I'm just going to put up a lithium miner, because lithium is one of the clearest supply inelasticity meets rising demand environments. And Orocobre in Australia is back testing its peak, having rallied on consecutive weeks for the last six, and has improved pretty considerably from 3 to 5. Now, it is also reflective of this really quite considerable bull market environment for the lithium price. And we're also beginning to see the first signs of a return of demand dominance to the oil market. Part of the reason for that is because the King of Saudi Arabia is in Moscow and talking with Putin, and there is increasing speculation that they will extend their supply cuts, which I think is almost a necessary condition if the gains that have been achieved in oil prices are to be sustained. Obviously, Saudi Arabia has got a vested interest in maintaining higher prices until they can get their IPO done. And that could be a bull market environment for much of the, at least a tailwind for the market for the next few months, as they settle on a price that they're going to want. And of course, it is going to be one of the biggest IPOs in history. And it will have to take more than a few months to get underway. So they do have certainly a vested interest in getting Russia on side so that they can keep as much supply out of the market as possible and massage prices higher. But this was a pretty impressive upward dynamic in here. And what I think is perhaps more important is that the size of the reaction is relatively similar to those we've seen within the context of this move over the last couple of months, and that there is the potential here that we could see prices moving above $60, which would be more on a supply limiting factor rather than a big contraction in demand. And I think people then, when you have copper doing better and oil doing better, people will start to think about, well, what's happening with gold? And gold prices were down too today, but they have at least lost some of that downward momentum, and there is some increasing speculation that perhaps prices have gone far enough that it has come back to the region of the trend mean, and this is the first area of potential support. So I think it is getting increasingly more interesting the further down that it comes. Now, the Chinese market was closed in here today, and I'm posting a heavyweight report on India in here today, and it really is worth taking a look at it because it, in no uncertain terms, it makes the case for the digitization of the Indian market, resulting in massive value creation. And we see a picture of that in the Nifty, where the price went from 3,000 to 10,000 since 2009, and that's in nominal terms, and it's pretty modest. And considering that a number of markets have done substantially better than that in the course of what has been already an 8-year bull market, that India does have ample potential to advance from here. And a lot of whether it is going to be able to capture that value will be tied into the support that it gets from overseas investors who will be looking, I think, intently at what happens with the rupee. The rupee has weakened over the last few weeks, but found some support in the region of the trend mean. And if it can strengthen through that 65 rupees to the dollar level, then that could be viewed as a very bullish scenario. And it would help to, I think, help the Nifty to break away from this psychological 10,000 level. But I think perhaps the most important thing is that if we click through an increasing number of markets and just simply ask ourselves how many are breaking down relative to how many are breaking higher, and there are a significant number of markets that had been going sideways for really what feels like a very long time, that some of these ASEAN markets had done very well at the in the period immediately following 2009, but then did almost nothing at all for much of the last 4 years. They are now beginning to break on the upside. We're starting to see the commodities related markets also doing better in here, and breaking up and away from these really well-defined and rather lengthy periods of consolidation. And as long as that remains the case, as long as we're seeing more markets breaking up and away from these medium-term ranges rather than breaking down or losing momentum and starting to roll over, then we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I've got a number of reports on my desk right now that are really quite incredibly bearish, and I can only view that as a contrary indicator that markets have gone nowhere for the last 3 months, and that people are getting antsy, and that when they are, and what I'm seeing particularly is a rehashing of these very bearish arguments that we've seen for much of the last decade. But the reality is that as long as this is a liquidity fueled market and the majority of the big central banks around the world are still pumping money into the system, then this remains a largely bullish environment, which is being pioneered by the accelerating rate of technological innovation. But most particularly, not just that we have a technological innovation, but that the access to it is global in nature. And that is one of the, I think, most important and most significant and perhaps differentiating aspects of this particular bull market, that on this occasion we're not just having a bull market in terms of one industrial nation, but rather it is about raising billions of people out of poverty and into the middle classes through globalization and the application of technology. And obviously, that is not a level playing field. Some will obviously benefit more than others, but the majority are doing better, and that is certainly being reflected in stock markets. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.